Today's March 1st, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $62,141.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick? Happy Friday.
Oh, it's a great Friday.
It is. It's the weekend. You looking forward to some relaxation?
Yes. But I'm still kind of freaked out that we're above 60,000 to start the month of this, month of March.
Yeah.
I struggle with it.
It's when we recorded basically just on the 27th, we were at 56,981. And now, yeah, we've surpassed that.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It hit like, 63, 64, and it hit resistance. But it's like, if you would have told us, 5 months ago, hey, beginning of March, you're going to be above 60 grand. I'd be like, you're freaking nuts.
Yeah. I mean, all it takes, like with the moves that we've been saying, all it takes is one solid day and we're back in above all-time highs.
Especially if we had another Monday, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's been pretty ridiculous. So what is our theoretical purchase at right now?
Okay, theoretical purchase. Assuming we bought $3,000 in like October 7th, it'd be equal 0.0885 Bitcoin. And with today's price at $62,141, that is $5,500.
Dang. So that $3,000 investment is almost doubled now.
Almost. It's $500 more and it's doubled.
Yeah, we're just about there. So, I mean, we're seeing crazy volume across the board. I shared with you a chart earlier today, and basically it was looking at the amount of Bitcoin available over the counter, which for those of you that don't know, over the counter or OCC is what they call it. That's where your big institutions and stuff like that, that's where they buy. They buy over the counter so as not to affect the price so much. And I sent you a chart. We had looked at this a while back. I think right before the ETFs launched, we were talking about, what are the theoretical possibilities with this, that kind of thing. And I mean, that chart is almost ground down to zero.
Yeah. No, it's pretty scary. I mean, you and I have anticipated a supply shock just from the fact that only so much Bitcoin is created every day. Mm-hmm. But it looks like we're realizing that potential for a supply shock because there's not going to be enough to go around. People are going to want Bitcoin and there's not enough available on the market.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's getting sopped up quicker than it can be produced. I think it's still consistently almost 10 times the supply, a daily supply, which is 900 Bitcoin currently, is being purchased every day. And that's on top of, any type of outflows or anything like that that's taking place. So, I mean, not only that, but we had the highest monthly candle close in Bitcoin's history that just happened in February.
As far as monthly candles, right?
Correct, yeah. Monthly candle close, 20,000 is what it was. The previous one looked like it had happened, basically it was that November 21, right when we kind of peaked out. And that, I mean, it's hard to tell on here, but it looked like it was approximately like 18,000.
Just think about it. It's, this February is a leap year. So we had a whole 29 days to reach the highest candle of months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and consider this, right? Like, that is the highest monthly close back in that November 21. That was the highest monthly candle close at the peak of a bull market.
Yep.
And it seems like it's just getting started.
Yeah, no, it's like the real bull market doesn't happen until after the halving, which is what, another month and a half away?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything that we keep on looking at saying, right around April 17th. I mean, it could change a little bit here and there, but yeah, it's just unreal what we're seeing currently.
And who knows what the price is going to do with the halving. with the demand that's happening, the supply that's not going to be available. I mean, this is the craziest time to be an investor in Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's kind of interesting, too, because there was a lot of people that were doom and glooming the ETFs. You know, what was going to happen when these institutional players got in? What if there was no interest? I think we had had conversations where they were talking about, I think Eric Balcudis, I always get his name wrong on the last name. He was talking about, you know, they predicted that the ETFs would do about approximately $10 billion, you know, within the first year. And we've already seen that from only one of the ETF customers do that within 2 months.
It's nuts. It's not even 2 months.
Yeah.
I mean, this is March 1st. They opened up, what, sometime like kind of early January?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was January 8th. January 8th, January 11th, somewhere right around there.
Okay, I mean, let's just say it's the 11th. It's like, you know, how many weeks would that be? 7 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's nuts. Like, we're seeing, apparently, the appetite for the ETFs, the Bitcoin ETFs, from the institutional investors has been enormous.
Yeah. The only concern I have about this is if, you know, with all this institutional investing, on the flip side, if we hit a crypto winter like we have in every cycle before, it might be pretty drastic with the people fleeing the market.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I could also see, you know, typically the bull market lasts like 12 to 18 months. We may be seeing an accelerated bull market.
Yeah.
Like, it may not even last that 18 months. We could top out possibly by September, October, November, you know?
Even if you say that, we're in the midst of the beginning of a pretty good-sized bull market.
Yeah. No, yeah, no, for sure. And I don't know what that price would look like at that time. But, I mean, that could be the thing that's different this time. We have no idea how it's going to play out still. You know, we've never seen anything like this. And Wall Street's never seen anything like this. You know, they've never seen an asset that doesn't care what their demand is.
Well, it's the first asset in history where it doesn't matter what the demand is, the supply is fixed.
Yeah.
What's going to be mined is mined every, you know, so many blocks, right?
It's clockwork. Yeah, I mean, and that's the only thing they can do. They can adjust it for 2 weeks. Like, they can increase the, you know, the demand on it for 2 weeks, and then after that, the difficulty adjustment will kick in, and it'll just make it that much harder to mine again to get that clock back to how it's supposed to be. You can only accelerate that clock for very short windows of time.
Yep, and then it just bounces back after that 2 week period for the difficulty adjustment. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you know, and it's so crazy to see. I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know where this is going. I mean, we've got BlackRock apparently. So Grayscale is the only thing that's keeping our prices down. You and I have talked about this.
Right.
That's the only thing that, you know, the only wet blanket in the whole party right now is the outflows coming from Grayscale. They had basically, as of yesterday, they had $600 million worth of outflows come out of their Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. And it was all sopped up by BlackRock. They now have 161,000 Bitcoin BlackRock alone. Again, you know, when we think about MicroStrategy, they have 190,000. I think a little bit more than that right now, maybe 193,000. But that took them years to accumulate that. BlackRock has done this in, like you said, 7 weeks.
Pretty nuts.
Somebody's buying. We had talked about that, what was it, that $1.4 billion purchase that was done, like in a single day, like in a single transaction by somebody.
Yeah.
And not being
able to. There's also rumors with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, there's only so many people that can actually flex that kind of money, you know, in a single purchase. That's not an institution.
Yeah. So the rumors are basically Jeff Bezos from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Or governments, according to Andrew Snowden.
Yeah. Yeah. Edward Snowden was talking about that. You sent me a video on that one. And I don't know. I think if there's also, so there's also a weird mysterious will, and I wasn't really going to kind of bring this up, but we've had somebody, and I know we've talked about him before on the podcast, but there's somebody that's been buying like 100 Bitcoin, like just every day, like clockwork. And they've been doing that for quite a while now. But yeah, Edward Snowden had predicted that basically there's going to be a nation state that's going to make themselves known as having been purchasing Bitcoin this whole time.
No, that'll be next level, especially if it's a major player like the United States. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be game on. I mean, it's one thing for institutions to start buying Bitcoin, but when governments openly do this, I mean, the price is going to skyrocket like we've never seen before.
What's your prediction on what country would be the one doing it?
I don't know if it would be America. I mean, it's possible, but I think it would be some other kind of semi-large government. Like, I think Russia might try and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe China or India. Like, one of the BRICS nations.
I could definitely see one of the BRICS nations doing it. The weird thing is Putin keeps on talking about, like, wanting his people to buy gold, right?
Yes.
So I don't know.
But here's the deal, though. If they're buying gold, I don't think that's a ridiculous investment, even when Bitcoin is blowing up.
No. Gold's never a bad play, right?
Yeah, especially in inflationary situations. Yeah, it's always a solid play. It's just Bitcoin seems to be the one to go to.
If you want to have $2,000 in 10 years from now, you buy gold. Because that's exactly what the price is going to be. Maybe not. But hopefully gold does a little bit better. Peter Schiff is not doing so hot right now. Like, I'm sure he has got to be, like, just upset as can be. The gold, you know, the gold ETF, we've talked about this before, but there's not been a positive gain in the gold ETF. It's actually lost money over this past 2 months.
Yeah.
I mean, the price is still steady.
Exchange with Bukele, El Salvador's president, and Peter Schiff.
I did.
Yeah. And he basically, Bukele just told Peter Schiff, which we actually respect, we admire, we like Peter Schiff, but he's just anti-Bitcoin. And Bukele just tell him, cry harder.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, too, because one of my coworkers actually hit me up this week because... She's a Canadian and she has Bitcoin in her portfolio. Like she, you know, because Canada's had the ETFs for a little while. And she asked me, she's like, should I sell? You know, she had never seen anything rise the way that her Bitcoin ETFs have risen in Canada before. And it was causing her to kind of panic, right? Like, should I sell and take profits?
Well, I've got to say, nucks to her for getting on Bitcoin before this.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that took some cojones.
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny, too, because she's not the biggest believer in Bitcoin. You know, she and I have talked about it. But she was asking me, she's like, what do you think is going to happen? I said, well, I think right now, I think you're pretty safe. Like, this is just the beginning of a bull market. I said, you know, you're going to have ups and downs for sure. And you're going to see some wild, violent swings. I said, but if you're really that uncomfortable and you have seen that much of an appreciation kind of happen and it's kind of making you nervous, so take some off the table. You've made a lot of money already.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep it all invested. Yeah. You don't, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I mean, and especially with the ETF, it's not like you're physically holding the Bitcoin. So it's like, yeah, go ahead. If you're nervous about it, I said, but what I would recommend is hold on for a little bit longer just to kind of see how this is going to play out. But I wouldn't sell yet.
I would say hold on at least 6 months after the halving.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Usually when the price goes nuts. But then if you held on that long, you're going to probably hold on through the freaking drop off the cliff if it has another.
Yeah, and that goes back to being the question. And that's the thing that has eaten me up every bull cycle is that, you know, we see the drawdowns. You would be sitting there and you would see like a 40% correction. And then Bitcoin would come back, right?
Right.
You know, during the bull markets, it happens. And then you get that crazy exuberant high. You get the 40% dip, and you're like, okay, it's going to correct again. Like, it'll come back. And then, no, that was the end.
Like, that was the end. It's going to go even further lower.
Yeah. And so, you know, I've always been notorious for riding the roller coaster all the way up and then all the way back down. So like this time I'm like, is this time truly different? It feels different. We're seeing things that are different. You know, is there going to be a cycle top this time? Or is this just going to be like for the next 3 years, we're going to see like Bitcoin just rise and rise and rise. And then it becomes like gold where the price is just steady Eddie. You know, a few percent in change here and there. But like gold, yeah, I mean, you could look at it and be like, oh, yeah, you know, it's up 1.89%. For Bitcoin, like, that's nothing. Like, the movements that Bitcoin will do, you know, on a given day.
Yeah. Well, on Monday, we saw over a 10% rise.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a $20,000 candle in a month.
Yeah, $20,000 candle in a month. This is like... the cycle, or what we're seeing this cycle is, it's kind of breaking all the rules of what we've seen before.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the closest we saw was the drawdown mid bull market in 21, right?
Right.
Where we saw, like on that chart that we have up on the Discord, it was almost basically a $20,000 drawdown, which, I mean, we'd never seen that before either. But then it recovered and went back up $18,000, you know, a few months later. But that's the kind of stuff that we're used to seeing in Bitcoin. Like right now, we haven't seen one of those crazy red candles. I'm expecting that we're going to have to, everything in my fiber of my being tells me we're going to have a correction. And it could be a pretty drastic one. But when that correction is going to come, I don't know.
Yeah.
We can, we could do another 10 days of chop where we're stuck between 60,000 and 63,000 or 64,000. And then it does what it did, you know, again.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Previously in our cycles around this time, there is a drawdown somewhere in there. A couple episodes ago, we were talking about people were putting in options at 40,000. We thought they were crazy.
Yeah.
That was never going to happen.
No.
But maybe there is a drawdown here shortly of another, you know, 20% here shortly. But then historically, I mean, past performance doesn't guarantee future performance, but there could be another, you know, 20% drawdown and then it bounces back shortly afterwards, you know, 30, 40% and then keeps rising afterwards.
Yeah, if you look at that chart, the Bitcoin monthly price performance chart that I put up there, typically you've got like there's a long stretch there where you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months of green candles, right? Like that's the longest stretch through there. We are at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is our 6th month already of green candles.
Green candles. Yeah. With a huge green candle recently.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if we have 7 again, that's a record breaker. We've never seen that happen before.
Well, the scary part to this chart is the available Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's absolutely, no. Yeah, I mean, that's the basic supply and demand is what drives Bitcoin's price for the most part, right?
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've heard the report saying that it's actually currently over the counter. It's hard to tell on this chart because it doesn't have kind of hash marks through there. But they're saying that there's only like 4 Bitcoin available over the counter right now.
Well,
because when you look at that chart to the left, that's what, 5,000?
Yeah.
Is what that shows is kind of that first hash graph over there. We're way below that. I don't believe there's only 4 Bitcoin left over the counter, but if so, you got till Monday to try and accumulate as much Bitcoin as you can, because if that's the case.
Yeah, you thought last Monday was crazy. Wait until there's no Bitcoin available.
Well, what happens with all the traders that when you go out on the golf course and talk about how smart they were and they bought Bitcoin? You know, they're going to go out there with their investment buddies and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, no, I bought this and it's gone up, you know, $20,000 in the past month. And there's more upside room from what everybody's talking about.
Yeah. Well, And how I relate the Bitcoin cycles, you know, I kind of followed Mark Yusko. He calls this like the crypto summer.
Yeah.
And he actually calls fall when it goes nuts.
Yeah, right before the winter.
Still in summer. Yeah. And winter is when it has that really painful cycle. But summer is when it's kind of going up and it's going up fairly well. And fall happens sometime after the halving. Mm-hmm. And it goes parabolic. Yeah. I mean, we're still in the summer. It's not hit the halving yet.
No, and even if I say, like, even if, say, March, we get a red candle, right? I don't think that's the end of it. Like, I mean, that to me, that's just normal. I would expect it. But I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it to go down in March. That's totally possible.
Yeah.
But I mean, after the halving, it's going to be nuts.
You typically see Bitcoin holders will end up selling typically in March because around that time, they've got to figure out what their tax bill liabilities are, those types of things. Like, that's normal. That happens in Bitcoin all the time. You know, people sell off to pay Uncle Sam, that kind of thing. So, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. However, I could be, if there's no supply, then it doesn't matter what people need to do. Like, if they'll sell into somebody buying it up and it's going to go away. And then they'll never get that position back ever again.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I think there's a lot of crazy rumors and speculation out there. The market is, you're starting to feel the froth, and I do think retail is back. We had talked, I think it was two or three episodes ago, that, you know, where's retail? And I think that Coinbase crash that we saw happen on, was that Tuesday? Wednesday?
It was Wednesday, I believe.
Like, to me, that was a signal that the retail's back. People are starting to pay attention again. I started reaching out to people that I had talked, you know, that I'd orange-pilled in the last bull cycle. And I asked them, I said, hey, do you still have your Bitcoin? And they're like, oh, yeah, I do. And, you know, I forgot about it, actually. It's like, well, you may want to look at the price again.
Yes, you're going to be profitable. I don't care where you bought, except for, like, October, you're going to be profitable for 2021.
Those people that bought at the very, very tippy top, you've only got a little bit more room to go before you're back in profit. But for the vast majority, yeah, everybody's in profit now. I'd say probably 99% of the Bitcoin purchasers are in profit right now.
And I almost feel sorry for the people who bought at the top and sold early.
Yeah, that took those losses. Oh, it's never coming back.
Losses.
Yeah. It's never coming back. Yeah. No, it comes back every time. It's like the damn zombie. And it just comes back bigger and stronger. Yeah. So, yeah, is there anything else you wanted to add to this episode tonight?
I think that's it for me today.
So for those of you out there that are still looking to purchase Bitcoin and that you want to do self-custody, we do still have the Elipal and the Ledger listed on our website. You can pick those up at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/deals. They are direct links to Elipal and Ledger, so you can be confident that you're actually buying from the manufacturers. You're not getting it from us secondhand or anything like that. Also, we're continuing to take items for our newsletter. And I think eventually we're probably going to do a special giveaway once we cross a certain threshold of signups. But yeah, go ahead and you can sign up for that on our website as well and just kind of continue to support us. And you can also follow us on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But we do appreciate those of you that do listen. And the only thing we ask is that if you do listen to us and you do enjoy our shows, just share it with a friend. Word of mouth is great advertisement for us. And that helps kind of get, you know, our word out there to other people. So.
And we've been in this game a while. I mean, we've been over 100 episodes. We started right before the previous peak. And we've ridden this all the way to the top, to the bottom. And we're ready to ride it to the top again. So,
and then back down to the bottom.
Well, we're going to hopefully guide some people to take some profits before we hit the bottom. So,
indeed. Indeed, but not hopefully 10 feet before the bottom. Like, hopefully we'll do it at the top while we're still at 50,000 feet. And honestly, we have been in this game for quite a while. I think we have another podcast that we do or did, however you want to look at it. But our first episode on Bitcoin was back in 2015. So We've been following this for quite some time.
Yeah. Make me feel old, Hans.
Yeah. Thank y'all for listening.
Bye.